Well, we're glad to see each of you and those who are visiting with us as well. Glad you're here tonight. We're going to be looking at a few verses from the very end of 2 Peter. So turn in your Bibles to the third chapter of the book of Peter. In this chapter, Peter reminds us that the reason why Christ has not yet come, it's not because God doesn't get around to doing what he says he will, but it's because of God's great mercy, his patience with us, giving us time and opportunity to turn back to him. And then he talks about the judgment and the end of all things, the end of the universe. And he spoke about the importance of how we live based upon the fact that that's going to happen. And so at verse 14, Peter talks about our living. He says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things." In other words, the end of all things, the universe and all of God's creation will come to an end. So since this is going to happen, do what? Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. If we're going to be prepared for the end of all things, when Christ comes again, this is the second coming of Christ. This is when he comes not only to destroy everything, but to judge all of humanity. If we're going to be judged by the Lord, the righteous judge, based upon our works and what we do, then what we do needs to fit in with what is pleasing to him, which is what he says here. Be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. To be at peace with God means everything's good. There's no trouble in your life that's separating from you from God, that incurs the wrath of God upon you, because you're living, as he just says after the word peace, without spot. You haven't defiled yourself spiritually. You're not walking or living in sin. The second thing he says is blameless. It doesn't mean that you never do anything wrong, but it does mean that you're walking in a life demonstrating adherence to the will of God, a love for his word demonstrated by obeying him and doing what he tells you, and that's being at peace with God. And if we're in that sort of mode of living, then we're ready for all the things that he's just said are going to take place. Though the end of the world is coming, though the judgment is coming, you can be ready for that. You can be prepared if you live in such a way as to be found at peace with God, because your life is right in accordance with his will. And then he explains that in verse 15, he talks about God's long suffering. And he says, "And consider that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." So he mentions here something that he's touched on earlier in this chapter, and that is God's great patience with us. God is long-suffering. Well, so what? So what is, if we didn't have the long-suffering of God, then we would be snuffed out quickly when we sinned. We wouldn't have time and opportunity, repeated chances to get our lives right and comply with God's will, because if we got what we deserved as soon as we sinned, we wouldn't be around. But God is long-suffering, and because of that, this equates to salvation for us. God giving us time and opportunity to change, to adhere to his will, to change our lives. And Peter says here, Paul's even written to you about these things. In verse 16, he talks about lies that are weaved by the wicked. He says in verse 16, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things," which he's just talked about, "in which are some things hard to understand." So it's interesting that the Holy Spirit puts through the Apostle Peter to us the truth of the matter that some scripture is difficult to understand. Some of Paul's writings, and this would also be true of other inspired writers, some of the things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in the Word are not easy to grasp. They're more difficult to comprehend. Which then he says, some people take these things that are not so easy, that are difficult, and what do they do with them? He says, "which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." When you take the truth and you twist it, it becomes a lie. And that's what is widely being taught in our world today, in our society today, a lot of lies, a lot of twisted truth, half-truths that cannot do anyone a bit of good. And this is what's all around us. These words of warning nearly 2,000 years ago are just as applicable and needed today. Because the nature of man has not changed. There are still people that take God's word, twist it around, present it in a beautiful package that people are happy to receive, open up, and consume because it sounds good. Sounds wonderful. You mean I can still do this or that? But that's the nature of what Satan does when he entices us with lies like he did to Eve. This is what you want right here. This is not going to hurt you. In fact, you'll become wise like God. But if we see through the eyes of God the truth that there are dangers out there, then we will heed the final thing that we find here in verses 17 and 18. This is Peter's exhortation. And what does he exhort us with saying? There's two words here that we can focus on. The word beware in verse 17 and the word grow in verse 18. So he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand. In other words, I'm equipping you, preparing you for what you need to watch out for, what's going to happen, what people are going to try to do. Since you know this, what do you need to do? Beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So here are individuals who are stable right now. They're walking in the truth. They're faithful to God. But there's something that can jeopardize their souls. And he said, it's a legitimate concern that you, even though right now you're secure and you are where you need to be, you're steadfast, you need to be on guard because this error can lead you away if you don't recognize it for what it is. That's something that we desperately need to understand. There is error in every form of communication. It's out there, from the internet to the books to the periodicals to the radio speakers to the television. False teachers are widely spreading their error. And the error leads people away from steadfastness and robs them of their hope. And instead, he exhorts us, in addition to beware, he says, you also need to grow. Verse 18, but grow in the grace or favor and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? How do you grow in favor with God? By growing in your faithfulness and adherence to his word. What makes God show great favor upon his people? Their obedience to his will. We see the demonstration of the faith in action, for example, with the life of Abraham in James, where he talks about this man's actions of obedience to God's word. He's called the friend of God. That's the grace of God being bestowed upon this man who demonstrates great faith. And this is what all of us can have. We can grow in fact. And also, he says, grow in your knowledge of the word, because you see, when you have knowledge of the truth, it'll help you to distinguish the error of the wicked when it comes your way, when it's taught. You'll recognize it and you'll see it. The brotherhood is full of churches where error has gradually crept in. The old paths, where the good way is, are being slowly left behind. Innovations are being brought in. Denominational practices are being brought in. New progressive ideas are being brought in, some of them coming out of our universities that have long ago abandoned the faith, the truth of God's will. The need for caution, the need for beware, as he says, being aware of what is around us and going to hurt us, is desperately needed in our time today. But God, through his word, equips us with what we need to know, and we can successfully recognize that which jeopardizes our souls, our families, and our congregation. And we can be on guard and militantly fighting for what is right and upholding the truth. In these words, then, we are reminded about our living before God, his long-suffering that brings about our salvation, results in our salvation as we strive to walk closer to him, the lies we have to be careful to notice and keep from, and the exhortation to watch out and grow strong and closer to God. As you think about tonight, where you stand before God, when you reflect upon the fact that the second coming could come at any time, and all that we know and that we see around us in terms of the material universe will be gone, and all that is left is, what did I do spiritually in my life? That's all that's going to matter to you. Are you walking with God? Are you clinging to His Word? Are you at peace with God because your life is showing your faithfulness to do what He's commanded you to do? Do you justify your sin? Do you minimize things that you ought not to minimize, that God says, don't do this, but it's not such a big deal? We can't have that attitude. Instead, we have to look seriously at what God has spoken, conform to His way, knowing that by His Word He'll judge us, and one day we can stand before Him justified if we follow the teaching found in the Scriptures. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can have your sins washed away, turning to God in faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning away from your sins in repentance, confessing your faith that you believe Jesus Christ is God's Son, and then the baptism, immersion in water, where your sins are washed by His blood, and you are added by God to the church, and you begin the journey toward your heavenly home. It's a difficult journey. And the Lord tells us sometimes we might wander. He's ready to receive us back. If you need to come home, we can help you in that. We can pray for you as we stand and sing.